It's Champlain Valley Game Night on 101.3 ESPN. Presented by the Windjammer Restaurant and Upper Deck Pub. Local, fresh, and Burlington's original steak and seafood restaurant. Now, here's your host, Brady Farkas.
What's up, everybody? Brady Farkas, Champlain Valley Game Night here on a Wednesday, 101.3 ESPN, 101.3ESPN.com. We are always streaming on the 101.3 ESPN app, which is a free download, Google Play Store, or the Apple Store as well. And you can just find us on your Amazon Echo by saying enable 101.3 ESPN. And if you've done that once, then all you have to say is open 101.3 ESPN. Short show today, going up until 6:25. Sox baseball in action again tonight. Red Sox taking on the Tampa Bay Rays from the Trop. David Price on the mound. He's had a lot of success in Tampa in his career. Remember, a Ray for so many years. So, big night tonight. Celtics are on the floor. They're taking on the Cavaliers. 8:30 or so, 8 o'clock over on 960 The Zone for the pregame show. I'm going to look to play a little basketball today as well over at the Williston Central School. At 7 o'clock, Arnie is chickening out because of his knee. I am finally able to play. I thought it was a pinched nerve. It ended up being maybe more of a muscle spasm that lasted about a week and a half, 2 weeks. I think I'm ready to give it a go today. It was in my neck, so hopefully able to play and play well today. But it's been about 2 weeks since it took a shot, so who knows. If you want to get in, 802-655-6672. We'll get into some news and notes on the NFL's decision around the national anthem. We'll give you those Red Sox and Rays lineups. But first, I think the Celtics are going to win today. I really do. I think they're going to win 103-97. That's what I predicted the score would be. But win or lose, this series has shown me what I think is, it has highlighted what I already thought was a need for this team moving forward in the offseason. And when you talk about maybe free agents, you talk about trade targets, or you talk about draft picks, whatever, the Celtics, I think, have a very real need. And I think that is for a big man that can stretch the floor. A true big man. I'm talking about somebody that is a dynamic player that's 6'10", can put the ball on the floor, can rebound well, can shoot well from the outside. And I know, look, we're talking about Kristaps Porzingis, Anthony Davis, DeMarcus Cousins. We're talking about transformational players. I understand that. These players don't grow on trees. But if you had a wish list for me for the Celtics, it's that kind of player. And I don't know what number 27 in the draft, whatever the Celtics are, if they can find anybody that can even come close to that. Probably not at that point of the draft. But this has shown me what the Celtics need. And let me phrase it this way. I always said this. People ask me, Brady, how were you at basketball? And I say, oh, it was okay. You know, I played 3 years of varsity basketball and went to a really big school. So to play 3 years was what I took a good accomplishment. And people say, well, how many points a game did you score? The answer was about 3.5 points a game in my career. And people that say, oh, that must not be very good. And I know what kind of player that I was, and I know what kind of player that I am. Here's what I am. I am 6'5". I am extremely skinny, not very strong. So me trying to muscle up somebody in the post doesn't really work that well. I am a good shooter. I am not a great ball handler. So I am, well, a guy that can shoot well from the outside. I'm not going to create my own shot very well. I'm not going to break you down off the dribble and drive you to the hoop. I am a one-dimensional player. I like to shoot, and I like to catch and shoot. So the reason why my numbers were never that great is because I only played well when I was a matchup nightmare for somebody. The games that I played well all followed the same script. If an opponent saw that I was tall and they were going to put a big, burly guy that was uncomfortable moving away from the hoop, then that guy I would take out and I'd shoot from the outside and they'd be uncomfortable and I'd make it. Or they'd try to come out and play me and they'd be so uncoordinated and cumbersome that then that guy I could take to the hoop. That worked really well for me. If the team realized, hey, this guy's a shooter, we'll put somebody who's 5'10 on him. I'm not going to take that guy off the dribble. That guy is a guard. I'll shoot over that guy from deep, or I'll take him in the post, and I may not be that strong, but with a 6-inch height advantage, that guy I'll take you down low with. The Celtics right now don't have a big man that can expose Tristan Thompson. Al Horford is incredible. Al Horford is a good passer. He's a good defender. He's a good leader. He's got a motor. He's coachable. He's a good role model. He relates well to younger players. He is everything the Celtics have needed this year. But he has struggled against Tristan Thompson. And it's been evident that since Tristan Thompson came into the starting lineup, Al Horford has not been the same dynamic player. I mean, let me read you some of these numbers to prove it. Tristan Thompson, when he was a defender in Game 4, he contested all 16 shots that he faced. The Celtics shot only 31% when he was the primary defender. The team as a whole, of which Horford is a big part of that matchup, did not shoot well. Thompson held Horford in particular to 1 of 5 shooting. In the entire series, he's only 3 for 9. Al Horford is not big enough to take Tristan Thompson one-on-one in the paint. He's not. So then the answer is, okay, let's take Tristan Thompson outside where he's not as comfortable. Well, Al Horford is not a perimeter-oriented enough player to expose that about Tristan Thompson. Tristan Thompson against Joel Embiid, against Kristaps Porzingis, that's not a matchup that favors Tristan Thompson. Those guys will shoot over him, and then if they try to come out, then they'll take him off the dribble and blow by. And again, I know those are franchise-altering players. They don't grow on trees. But if you're telling me what the Celtics, one of their biggest weaknesses is, it's that. Tristan Thompson has neutralized Al Horford because he doesn't have something else to go to. He can't take him down low one-on-one, and he's not good enough of a shooter or ball handler to create the shot on the perimeter with regularity, and then if Thompson comes out to try to face him, to blow right by him. He's good at everything, but he's not so great at one thing that he can make Thompson look bad. Al Horford is 3 for 9 on Tristan Thompson in this series. He's 11 for 15 on Kevin Love, who's a little bit smaller and plays a little bit more perimeter-oriented. So at this point, Al Horford is able to muscle up Kevin Love. He's not able to muscle up on Tristan Thompson. I mean, in the paint as a whole, the Celtics they shot 48% in the paint. Okay? In Game 4, they shot at least 55% in the paint in the first two games in Boston. If you're asking me what my biggest wish is for the Celtics, and again, I don't know that it's possible. They need a big man that can stretch the floor and can exploit these kind of matchups. Because the thing that Ty Lue has found in Tristan Thompson is an ability to neutralize Al Horford, and the Celtics don't have a big man that can do that. Even Aaron Baines can hit an occasional three in the same way that Al Horford can hit an occasional three. Neither one of them, would you say, are dynamic shot creators, ball handlers that can do a bunch of things. So it leads back to what I was, you know, what I started with. I made the analogy about me. You put a guy who was 6'5 and big on me, I'll take that guy to the hoop all day because I'm faster. You put a guy who's 5'10 on me to neutralize the outside game, I'll take that guy down low because I'm bigger. You put somebody between 6'2 and 6'5 who's athletic like I am, that guy's going to shut me down because I can't take that guy in the post because he's about my size. I also can't take that guy off the dribble because he's probably in the same realm of athleticism as me, and I'm not going to blow by that guy. That became very hard for me. That's where we're at right now with Al Horford. Not big enough to take Tristan Thompson in the post, not athletic enough to continuously beat him outside. And that is what has been a separator. There's been a lot of separators in this series. This is just one piece to the puzzle, but when you talk about the ball movement that has accelerated for Cleveland, the ball movement that has decelerated for Boston, that's a factor. The home-road splits of several of the Celtics players in terms of scoring, that's a factor. Jason Tatum's the only player averaging more on the road than at home in this series. He's the only one. Then you throw in the impact that Tristan Thompson has had, both on the glass and on Al Horford in particular. That's a factor, too. I think the Celtics win tonight. I do. I think they will get back to the team that they have been in Kyrie Irving's absence. 284 passes a game they were averaging. I mean, I read that stat at the end of the huddle. They were averaging 284 passes a game the first two games of this series. They were getting nearly 37 uncontested shots a game as a result of that ball movement. 37 uncontested shots a game. Now, 252 passes a game the last two games, all the way down to 19 uncontested shots a game. Half as many. Ball movement is a major factor. If you want to get in, you can. 802-655-6672. Let's see. John in St. Albans goes, Brady, everyone needs that. Well, everybody would like it, right? But when you have elite-level guard play, you don't always need it, okay? Look, yeah, everybody would love a point guard like Kyrie Irving. Everybody would love a big man like Anthony Davis. I understand that. But I'm not asking them to acquire Anthony Davis or Joel Embiid. I'm asking them to get a guy that when Tristan Thompson is guarding them can take him off the dribble. That's what I'm asking for. Or a guy that's confident enough and good enough from long range that can just shoot over him and make him uncomfortable and neutralize him and get him off the floor. Right now, Al Horford is not able to match up against Tristan Thompson. It's not because he's better, or it's not because he's horrible, rather. It's simply because it's just not a favorable matchup for Horford. Again, Champlain Valley Game Night. If you want to get in, 802-655-6672. All right, let's talk real quick. We get those Red Sox lineups in 4.5 minutes or so. Let's talk about what the NFL did today. And the NFL had a rule that stated, Mick in Grand Isle says, how about Carl Anthony Towns? And Big Dave says, not sure they need a guy like that. Golden State doesn't have that guy. Don't say Draymond Green is that guy. When Gordon Hayward comes back next year, they become a more dynamic team, and then who cares? That's a fair point. Dave, that is a fair point. You're right. When Gordon Hayward comes back and when Kyrie Irving comes back, they do become a more dynamic team, and next year they probably play more five out, which is what Golden State was able to do, and that's how they neutralized Tristan Thompson last year. They got Tristan Thompson off the floor because they just went so small. The Celtics are going to be in a better position to be able to do that next year. Imagine a five on the floor next playoffs for Boston, where it's Kyrie Irving, it's Gordon Hayward, it's Jason Tatum, it's Jaylen Brown, and then it's Al Horford. Tristan Thompson's not on the floor there. So you are right. You are absolutely right. If Gordon Hayward is back healthy, playing like we expect him to, then you don't need it as much. But I still want it, because if you don't, you can't play five guards all the time. Give me at least a guy that can come off the bench and do something like that and stretch the floor. All right, let's move over to the NFL real quick. The NFL has their new anthem policy. If you missed this, here's how it reads. The NFL has said every member of personnel, player, coach, trainer, everybody on the sideline before the game must stand for the national anthem. If you do not stand, you are fined. That is, the league will fine the team, not the player. The league will fine the team. If you want to protest the anthem, you can stay in the locker room. All this is about optics. This isn't about the NFL backing social justice. It's not about the NFL poo-pooing social justice. This is about the NFL, and all it cares about is its own image. And enough of us, enough of the consumer, complained about the NFL and complained about players kneeling and called it disrespectful, and the president chimed in on it too. Enough people complained about it that the NFL was worried about itself, worried about its image, worried about its bottom line. The NFL has now said, sure, you can protest the anthem. Just do it out of sight, and then our fans will forget about it. Our fans will come to the games, and they will see 98% of the roster out there on Sunday on the sidelines, standing with their hand over their heart proudly for America. The 1%, 2% they don't see, well, that's okay, because they won't really realize that. This doesn't do anything for the NFL other than help its image look good. This is nothing other than a PR thing. Jerry Jones said after the game, or after the decision was made at the meeting in Atlanta today, we want our fans to focus on football. Of course you do. You don't want your fans complaining, because when your fans complain, people stop watching. People stop going. What did we talk about last year? Ratings, all that. They don't want to have that conversation. And if it's out of sight, it's out of mind. The players who are passionate about social justice, they've already spoken up that it's a short-sighted rule. It's a narrow-minded rule. Nate Boyer, Army Green Beret, former NFL player, we've talked to a couple times. He said, look, it doesn't even feel like it's about anything anymore other than just winning. Who can be the loudest and who can win? I'm with you on that. That's what politics seems like to me, too, at this moment. It's not about who's right and who's wrong. It's about who can be the loudest and who can win. But this rule, to me, doesn't solve anything. All it does is it put it out of sight, out of mind, and if we forget, and if we stop complaining, then the NFL looks better. That's all. That's all this is. This was a Band-Aid on a problem. So, and I look, for the people who want to protest, for the people who think a protest is necessary, for the people who think there are injustices in this country, and there are, for the people who think that there are injustices there, they're still mad because protesting to them wasn't about the flag. It wasn't about the anthem. It wasn't about the military. It was about police brutality. It was about injustice in society in general. So they'll still say, this still emphasizes the fact that you think we're protesting about the anthem when we're really not. All this is PR. All it is the NFL trying to make itself look good. Mojo and Milton says, if you protest where no one can see you, then you're not really protesting. Right. That's what the NFL wants. The NFL says, sure, you can go and do that, but as long as our fans don't see it, then better for the league. That's what they care about. Let's get to the Red Sox lineups. Red Sox 33-15, Rays 22-24. Sox winners last night. David Price 4-4, 4.38 ERA. Mookie Betts in right, Andrew Benintendi in left, Hanley Ramirez at first, J.D. Martinez the DH, Xander Bogaerts at short, Rafael Devers at third, Eduardo Nunez at second, Jackie Bradley Jr. had a couple of hits last night. He's in center, Christian Vasquez is the catcher. Chris Archer 3-3 with a 5.01s on the mound for Tampa. Denard Span is in left, C.J. Crone at first, Daniel Robertson the DH, Matt Duffy at third, Willy Adames went 1-for-4 yesterday and had a homer. He's at shortstop. Johnny Field, he is in center, hitting sixth. Rob Refsnyder is in right, he hits seventh. Christian Arroyo is at second, he hits eighth. And Jesus Sucre, one-time Mariner, he is the catcher and bats ninth. Thank you, everybody, for listening. We'll see you tomorrow, everybody. It's 101.3 ESPN at Champlain Valley Game Night. Always online as well at 101.3ESPN.com. Red Sox baseball is now. Celtics basketball, 8 o'clock, 960 The Zone. See you tomorrow.